Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I'd like to welcome you once again for being here this morning. And as I said, Russ is feeling under the weather this morning, so I got the job of filling in for him. There'll be some rating cards in the back whenever you get done, so you can rate me. If you rate me low, you won't have to hear me again. That's the good news. It's actually pretty easy to get jobs in church. You may have noticed that. You pretty much have to say, I'll do that, and you can get the job. Sometimes it's just a matter of not saying, I won't do that, and you get the job. If you want to help out with KFC or VBS, just give Tom a hint, and next thing you know, you're signed up. So it's pretty easy to get these jobs. You get spoiled in the military, because there you don't have to work at getting jobs. Whenever your job ends at a certain place, they're going to send you somewhere else and give you a new job. So you do get kind of complacent about that kind of thing. And it seems like they have a long memory. You don't have to do a resume or anything. They have your records at the Military Personnel Center. So they know where you've been and what you've done. And so they have a pretty good idea about what you can do. You put in a dream sheet that tells what you'd like to do, but they look at that and laugh and throw it away, and then they send you where they want to send you most of the time. And I got ready to go to Japan, and they said, before you go to this job, you should go to this contingency planning course in Alabama for 2 weeks. I didn't want to go to Alabama for 2 weeks. Who'd want to go to Alabama for 2 weeks? So I said, I don't really need to go to that war planning course. I've got enough experience. I could teach that course. So they said, okay, that's fine. And they sent me on to Japan. And my next assignment was, guess what? Teaching at the war planning course. I just know somebody wrote that down in my file. And they're like, all right. You didn't want to go to Alabama for 2 weeks? Go there for 3 years. You got it. So anyway, I did that. I said I could, and I did. But once I got out of the military, then I had to do something very unfamiliar, and that's write a resume. And they have classes in the military of how to write a resume, and here's how to take your military experience and translate it into terms that civilians will understand and be able to see what you can do with your military training and experience. And so I had to learn a whole new set of skills. And that got me started to thinking about, what if you had to write a resume to get into heaven, to get a job into there? So what would you put on your resume? Suppose you got up there to the pearly gates and they said, okay, where's your resume? Excuse me? I must have left that in my other pants. So they pull out an application. All right, well, if you didn't bring a resume, that's all right. Just fill out this application, and we'll see about getting you in. So you're thinking, well, this Russ never mentioned this. I wasn't expecting to have to do this. That must have been in, like, Barnabas's Gospel or maybe 3 Peter or something, one of those books that didn't make it into the Bible. So you get your number 2 pencil and your application, and you sit down at the desk, and it's like, well, what do you write? What do you put on your Christian resume? So you think, well, are there any biblical examples that I could pull from? Civilian resume probably isn't going to cut it here, so let me think in the Bible. And as you think, you remember, Paul wrote a resume. So, you remember 2 Corinthians chapter 11, if you want to turn there. And Paul gave a resume to the people at Corinth. And he told his qualifications, because there were some people there that didn't really think he was qualified to be an apostle. And so he had to defend himself to them. And so he gave them his resume. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 22, he started writing about himself. And he prefaced it, in case it doesn't sound like Paul to boast about himself. He says that. So going back a little bit, he says in verse 21, to my shame I admit we were too weak for that anyone else dares to boast about. He says, I'm speaking as a fool. I also dare to boast about. So then in verse 22, he says, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. He's comparing himself to the other apostles here. Are they Abraham's descendants? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I'm out of my mind to talk like this. I'm more. I've worked much harder. I've been in prison more frequently. I've been flogged more severely. I've been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, in danger from false brothers. I've labored and toiled and often gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst, and I've often gone without food. I've been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Okay, so now I have an example. So I start going through there. All right, well, let me see what I can put down on my resume. Well, Paul was a Hebrew. Okay, well, I'm not, so that doesn't really help. He was the seed of Abraham. Maybe. I don't know. I don't even know who my great-great-grandparents were, I think, much less whether I came from Abraham's seed. But it seems kind of doubtful, I guess. It says, well, Paul got stripes from beatings. Okay. As a kid, I remember getting some beatings from Dad, but I don't think that counts in this particular case. So I don't think I can really put that down. Put in prison for preaching. Maybe I should have, but no. Let's see. 5 times he got 39 stripes. No, I can't really say that. He was beaten with rods. I had 2 older sisters, but once again, I don't think their beatings are really going to help me with this. He was stoned? No. Once I got hit by a stray BB whenever I was growing up, but that's probably not what they're looking for here. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I wonder if video games count. Maybe. I don't know. A day and the night in the deep. I don't really swim that well. I probably wouldn't have survived that. Journeys often. Okay, here we got something. I've been all around the world. Of course, I didn't go on mission trips exactly. You know, I went on military TDYs. Sometimes I would talk to people about Jesus during those, but, you know, that's about all I got there. In perils of waters? No, not really. Robbers? Well, there was one time in East St. Louis I was concerned, but you know, it wasn't really about being a Christian or anything. In perils of my own countrymen? No, not so much in this country. In perils of Gentiles? Well, I think everybody I know is a Gentile. I'm not even sure I know any Jewish people, so that's probably not something that applies to me. Weariness and toil? Well, I do get tired a lot. Not really that often from doing church work, I guess, but maybe around VBS time. But that's about it there. Sleeplessness often? Well, just when you get called by Russ and he's like, can you preach for me tomorrow? But aside from that, not really that much. Hunger and thirst? You can probably look at me and see I haven't missed too many meals. Cold and nakedness? I'm not even going to talk about that. This resume material really isn't helping me. I can't really relate to what Paul wrote. So, you know, I'm going to have to go back for help. So I go back up to the receptionist there at the Pearly Gates, and he says, you know, maybe this isn't the right place for me. You know, I'm not really having any luck filling out this application. And she says, all right. She says, you know, I really shouldn't tell you this, but you really just have to fill out the one important block. Okay. Well, let me go back. So I go through there, name, address, phone number, email, qualifications. Which one of these is the important block? I don't, you know, I think it's qualifications maybe, but that's the one I'm having trouble with. So I go back again. He says, I don't really have that much to put here in the qualifications block, something that's, you know, really gonna be impressive to anybody. And she says, you know, you've already filled out the important block. I said, what are you talking about? All I did was put in the name, address, phone number, and email. You know, which one of those is the important block? And she says, yep, you filled out the important block. And then I remember another time that I had to go fill out a job application. I was working at a fiberglass place. That was the most horrible job I ever had. You know, you can't leave your work at work when you work in a fiberglass place, because you come home and you feel it all the time. You get fiberglass and all your clothes, and you're always itchy and irritable. And so my dad said, well, if you'd like to change jobs, you can come to work at the plywood plant where I work. I'm like, really? You know, that doesn't sound like great work, but it sure beats working with fiberglass all the time. So he said, sure, come on up there, and I'll get you hired. And so I went up there, and they said, all right, here, fill out the job application. And so I did, but there was only one important block on that job application, and that was my name. Because my dad was a shift supervisor up there, and he had already told him he wanted me to get hired. So really, all I had to do was fill out my name on there, and the rest of it he took care of. And so that was the important block on the Christian resume. Once you put down on there in your name block that you wear the name Christian, that's all that mattered. That's the basis of whether or not you go to heaven. Is do you wear the name Christian? And so at that point, then you begin to remember some of the other verses, maybe the ones that I should have gone to in the beginning instead of Paul's Christian resume. So if I go back to the scripture that Tyron read earlier on there, Romans 8, verses 16 and 17, it says, the Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we're God's children. Now, if we're children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in His sufferings, in order that we may also share in His glory. So really, that's all that matters, is that we're children of God. Just like all that mattered working at the plywood plant was that I was a child of my dad. All that matters about us being heirs and children of God is just that. We've decided to become His children. We've decided to let Him adopt us. And so at that point, we're fine. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, it says, for grace you've been saved through faith and not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. The salvation is a gift. And so many times we think in terms of heaven, and we think that we're earning our way to heaven. If you just talk to people in the secular world, they'll say, you know, if you ask them who's going to heaven, well, I guess people that have been good people. And there's a lot more to it than that. And in one case, a lot less to it than that. And that's It's not a matter of the individual things that we do. It's a matter of who we are and who we've decided to believe in. So there was a guy once on the golf course. He was about as good at golf as I was. So he goes up to that first tee, and he gives the golf club a mighty swing, and he misses. And just missed the ball completely. So he swings again. He missed again. So he swung a third time, and he missed again. And he says, man, this is a tough course. Sometimes we think of Christian life as being a tough course. You know, there's so many things expected of us, and that's only if we're trying to do it ourselves. If we're trying to get to heaven by ourselves, then we think of it as being a tough course. But Jesus says, I've already given you the victory. What you're doing now is you're not earning your way to heaven. That was a free gift. He said, that's based on your faith. And so that's what he's expecting of us, is for us to keep the faith. Now, that faith is demonstrated in a lot of the things that we do. That those things that we do are the evidence of that faith that we have deep down inside of us. So those are the things that God expects from us. He expects that faith. And then the things we do just come naturally from that faith. Those are the things that we do because we have that faith in Jesus. Because we have the love for Him and the appreciation for the things that He's done for us, the rest becomes easy. It's not a tough course after all. So we don't really have to build a resume to get into heaven. Excuse me. All we need is our Father to put in a good word for us. So, I want you to think about your resume to get into heaven. Not all the things you've done, not whether you've been good, not whether you played hooky from church, or whether you did something when you were 12 that you shouldn't have done. What you need to think about is where you've placed your faith. Has that been your focus? Have you placed your faith in Jesus? Have you trusted Him with your soul? Because that's what's important. Satan likes to get into our head. He tries to tell us that, you know, we have no right to go to heaven, that we've done terrible things in our lives. He'll tell us and remind us of all the times we failed, all the things that we've done wrong. And He'll tell us, you don't deserve to go to heaven. And we don't. But luckily, that's not what it's based on. We don't have to deserve to go to heaven because none of us do. It's a free gift based on our faith. So that's what we're looking for. We get discouraged and we get worried and we get anxious in this life about things and we get concerned about what's going to happen to us. And we forget that we have a Father that's looking out for us. If you're a child here on earth, you don't have to worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to wear because you've got a parent that's looking out for you. And that's the way that we are as Christians. He's going to make sure that we win the race as long as we keep our faith in Him. So I'd like for you to think about that this morning. I'd like to leave you with those words. And I'd just like for you to think about the things that you've been worried about. Like for you to think about where you placed your faith. If we get caught up in the things of this world and we trust our own abilities and we try to lean on what we see or the plans that we make, then we're going to get discouraged and we're going to get concerned about the state of our soul and our salvation. But we need to remember who it is that's responsible for us being saved. We're saved by grace through faith. God's part is the grace, our part is the faith. And so if we keep the faith, if we keep trusting in Him, and if we keep letting that faith that we have express itself in all those things that we do each day, that's what indicates where the state of our soul is, not on our own abilities. So we'd like to offer an invitation this morning. If you've had difficulties in your life and you haven't been trusting in God to help you with those difficulties, you've got a chance this morning to come forward and get the prayers of the church and to have the help that you need because we're all a family here. And we're here to help one another through the difficult times like all families do. And if you've never decided to become a part of that family this morning, then you also have that chance to come forward and to confess your sins and to state that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and you get a chance to start a new life. You get a chance to be baptized into Christ, to wash all of your past sins away, and to have a chance to start living for Jesus and to place your faith in Him so that you can receive that reward that He's promised. So whatever your need is, I encourage you to come forward as we stand and sing this song.